Well, we're going to teach just a little bit today, not going to keep you too long, just long enough, however long that is. Not long could be, you know, in your, you said, man, are we still here? But not long is just long enough. How about that? Is that all right? Because whatever time we stay, it'll be just the right amount of time. Amen. But we're going to talk. I'm excited about this particular subject. I feel an unction to touch on this a little bit today, and we'll see how far we go. But I just have an unction to just touch on faith today. Is that all right? Just have a little bit of an unction and urge to do that. And just talk about that a little bit by the direction of the Lord. And I believe it'll help us. Amen. Can't talk enough about faith. Faith pleases God. And I like pleasing God. Don't you? So you can't hear enough about faith. You know, you could listen to faith messages for 30 years. And you can come out and glean something that will improve, encourage, build up, cause you to walk in another level of faith. So we never can reach that pinnacle, that place where I got it. So faith is something that, there isn't really not too many days go by that I'm not listening to something or reading something that is working my faith, causing faith to come. And then what's the important thing after that? Faith without what?
Works.
Doing something. It says faith without works is dead. What does it say after that? Being alone. I like doing something with what something that is revealed in me. Now, sometimes we don't always do that. Sometimes we don't always act on what we see. But guess what? We're changing that. Because that's what pleases God. It says it's not possible to please God without faith. So what does that really mean? It's not possible to please God without doing something. Isn't that the truth? So it's not just, yeah, I believe, but I'm going to think about it for a while. I'm not going to step out. Well, that doesn't please God. So you've got to, once you see something in the Word of God, once it becomes clear to you, what are you supposed to do? Do something. Do something you couldn't do. Step out. That's what that means. And faith means stepping out into what? The impossible. That means God is always going to ask us something to do in the natural that doesn't seem possible. That's what's going to happen. He's going to tell you, quit your job and go over here. Or he may say, well, I'm not saying quit your job, but he may ask you to do something for you in the natural. You go, I can't do that. That's not possible. Right. Faith has to step over into that place that's not possible. And when you do, faith and the power of God come together, and it releases the power of God to work in that situation where it can begin to be what? Possible. And so that's what pleases God. What pleases God is that when he tells you to do something, you say what? Yes. That's what faith does. Faith says yes. Okay, Lord, I'll do it. I'm thinking about, you know, just coming to work here in the ministry. Many years ago when the Lord put it in my heart, he didn't speak to me. But he put it in my heart. And I know 3 years prior to me coming here, it was in 1981, in November of 1981, I remember it. This young lady walked up to me and said, I see the Lord told me, she had some prophetic gifts. She walked up and said, I see you working in full-time ministry in 3 years. Well, you know, your mind is, you have your idea of what you think ministry is. Ministry is going to work. It's not getting behind a pulpit. Ministry is going to work and helping support the ministry. And so 3 years to the month, right to the month, Pastor Clinton walked up to me and he says, "You know, my wife and I see you coming to work here." And I said, "I'll think about that." I did. I had a good job and I was comfortable, but inside I was unsettled. I was like, you know, you reach a place where you've done things, you know how you go through this, you've reached a place where you've exhausted all of the things. I wrote software, so it was very creative, very, you know, it was just creative, and I enjoyed it. But you reach a place where you've done a lot of this, and it's like, okay, what else? And I had a good management job and a staff under me and so forth, and so I was there was this dissatisfaction. But it wasn't me, it was down here, and I didn't know it. And it was God putting that dissatisfaction there. And so I said, "I'll think about it," but I knew. As soon as he came, I said, "Yeah, that's okay. Yes, sir." But I had to say yes. I had to say yes to God. And that started this long journey, this path of what God had planned for me, you see. But he would have accomplished what he wanted to do if I said no. He'd have just picked somebody else. But, you know, in all of that, God is looking for people that say yes. And then, you know, your yes may put you in a position that's insignificant. Now, you think about this. When I think about it, I had a job where I was interacting with vice presidents and managers and sometimes the CEO. And so now I come to work here, and what was I doing? Running to pick up the mail. Doing some real menial things. And somebody could go, "You got to be kidding me." I'm going, "What?" And when I came here, they didn't even have computers. And I'm over here writing software on computers and writing programs for departments, and we didn't have a computer. I'm thinking, what is this? We're back in the dark ages here. So, you know, you could look at that and think, this is a step backwards. This is crazy. But you better know that it's God, and he doesn't tell you everything. He just tells you, "I want you to go over here." And you have to go and do what he tells you to do. And he's not going to tell you everything to begin with. It could take years to do, to unfold. And as I started, I remember one day Pastor Clinton came in, and I was really a rookie on the sound. And he said, "Okay." He just walked through the office. He didn't even turn around and look at me. He's just walking like this with Pastor Sarah. And he did this. "I want you to set up the sound. We're starting a broadcast tomorrow here instead of the radio station." And I went, "What? Are you kidding me? A radio broadcast? No way." In my mind. And three times I said to him, "Yeah, but..." He didn't even miss a step. He said, "I said, set up the radio broadcast for tomorrow." He didn't even look at me. And I said, "Yeah, but..." He said, "I said, set it up." And the third time, he wasn't nice about it. And I said, "Yes, sir." And I'm telling you, I got on my knees and asked God how to do it. You laughing? I did. Because I'm thinking, they're on, at that time, WWDJ, they were on 970. It was called The Word Alive. And I'm thinking, You have got to be kidding me. What do you do? And I remember just like yesterday, the Holy Ghost down here, because I really, you ever not have fear strike you? You know, you just, your mind, everything, all your senses are going, what the heck did I just get myself into? This, how am I going to do this? And the Holy Ghost, that's what I love about him. He's a comforter. He said, what do you normally do? And I'd already been running sound. He said, just set up a microphone. I said, right. I knew that. No, I didn't. So I got a boom stand, a couple of boom stands, a couple of mics, and I started recording to, we had some reel-to-reel tape, and I'm recording to reel-to-reel, and of course, that step put me in a position to then start reading and exploring, calling, asking questions, because I'm inquisitive, and I wanted to ask questions. How do you do this? I wasn't a know-it-all. I said, I'm asking questions. Come to find out, you know, we improve the broadcast by doing some of the things, asking questions, putting it on better tape, better reel-to-reel tape, high-quality tape, and just doing those things. And then it evolved into, instead of reel-to-reel, it was now computers, digital workstations, all of that. And so God put me on that path to start working in that area and be an assist. But I had to say yes. And I had to come not knowing what I was going to do, how much I was going to get paid, and all of those things, you see? So that's what faith is. Faith, I mean, I said all of that, long-winded, all of that to say faith without what? Works is dead. Amen. You got to do something. When he tells you, in my case, he gave me a direction. He may give you a direction. But when he does, don't give him a what for. You know what I mean? Don't give God a what for. Don't give him a bunch of excuses. Just say yes. And I'm telling you, he's going to ask you to do something. Your mind is going to lock up. It's going to lock up and go, what? How am I going to do this? I've never done this before. Yeah. Right. Faith seeks God. Faith is going to go to God and say, how do you do this? What is it? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and do what? Lean not to your own understanding. Most of us, see, that's a good quality of faith. Most of us, see, he picks people, I'm not saying in all cases, most times he picks people that they have no understanding of what he's asking them to do, because if you knew how to do it, you'd get all of the accolades. I did this. I figured it out. I knew what to do. No, he picks us because we don't know. And so I like it. I'll tell you the truth. It's sometimes it's unnerving, but I like it that way. I like not knowing what to do, because it gets you on your knees. It gets you to seek him to find out how to do it, because when you know how to do it, a lot of times you miss it. Because you really don't have the heart of God in that situation. Because when you know, maybe it's not the best way. When he tells you, you go, man, I would have never thought about doing it that way. Right. Exactly. You see. That's what faith is. You excited about faith?
Yes.
All right. Let's start. I'm excited about faith. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm excited about it because it's a way of life. What does it say in Romans and Galatians? It says the just, in Hebrews, the just shall live by faith and not by sight. Amen. Father, we thank you for these few thoughts that we have. that you've given us to look at. And we thank you, Father, for directing us by your Spirit. Thank you that faith pleases you, and we aim to please you in our actions and our words. And Father, we thank you that the Spirit of God is here with us to direct the affairs of this meeting. We ask you, Father, for divine insight and revelation, words that will be deposited in our heart, that will change our thinking, that will transform our thinking, our thoughts, our actions. And we thank you for it, and we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess I started a few minutes ago, so this I'm just inserting an opening prayer here to start, but I really did start. Amen. Let's open our Bibles as we do. Let's look at John 3:16. You know, most of us, I include myself here with this, and anybody who's walked by faith, lived by faith, been directed by God, and he's asked you to do something, where you end up is nowhere near what you figured out. You can't. Nowhere near what you figured out you'd be doing or participating in. He just said, start here. And as you're faithful to do what he says do, then he adds to that. He adds responsibility. He adds anointing. He adds more gifts to you. He empowers you. Amen? But you got to start where he tells you to start. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now I want us to turn over to 2 Corinthians. I have a few scriptures I want to look at, and then we'll expand upon that. But let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and let's look at verse 5. Familiar scripture verse, I'm going to read in the King James. It says, examine yourselves. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 in the King James Version. It says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. It doesn't say examine your neighbor. It doesn't say examine your husband or wife or your children. It says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Prove that, you see. I like this is the, and there's a number of translations that you can read from, but I've selected three here. New Living Translation. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is really genuine. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is really genuine. Test yourselves. Do a little personal test. Is it genuine? And the Message translation says, test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. I like that. Give yourself a regular checkup. Don't drift along. Examine yourself to see if you're in faith, whether it's genuine faith. See, some of us, we just go along every day. That's a good thing. We worship God. We praise him. We seek him. But it also says we're supposed to examine ourselves to see if we are in faith. Now, if that means examine yourself to see if you're in faith, there's the possibility you may not be. Isn't that right?
Yes.
You could examine yourself and go, whoops, I'm not in faith in this area. Well, what do you do then? Fix it. Make the correction. But this here, a lot of times, well, I'll say it sometimes, not for this group here, but for sometimes, God will send through speakers and ministers and even put on the heart of the pastors to share something that will cause us to do what? Examine ourselves. So that God, being a merciful God, God being a good God, He's our protector, He's our provider. He says, children, my sons and daughters, this area here, you need to look at this area. So God, by His mercy and by His Spirit, highlights things for us to do what? Examine. Say, hey, wake up, make the correction. So here, the scripture is telling us that we need to do this on a regular basis. Test yourselves, examine yourselves. Amen. Now, we're in 2 Corinthians, back up to chapter 4, and we're going to look at this here in chapter 4. And let's start in verse 6. We're talking about faith today, and you could entitle this The Spirit of Faith. But let's look at verse 6, this is 2 Corinthians 4. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of who? God, and not of us. We, this is verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet, I like that, not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We can include ourselves, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So it's not enough to just believe, but it's necessary to believe and speak. And there's some things that the Holy Ghost has been saying over these last few meetings. He's been speaking to me about certain things. And Pastor Judy started touching on it on Friday nights. That's what I like. The Spirit of God, when it's the flow of what the Spirit of God wants to say, it's going to come out through the vessels that are in this pulpit. Should be. That's the heart of God. And she was talking Friday night about taking some big steps. She was talking about momentum. Was she not? Those that were here. And having momentum, taking some big steps. Well, the Holy Ghost days before was speaking to me saying that your confession is like the propulsion for your faith. And some of us, you know, it's like this. You can get a plane up in the air going at a certain speed. And you can get it maxed out and you reach a certain level where that plane is concerned. And now you can pull back on the throttle and not lose altitude. But you pull it back enough and you're going to take a lot longer to get to where you're going. And if you pull it back far enough, you start losing altitude. And so our confession is like the momentum. It gives momentum behind this faith that we have. What are we supposed to do here? We which believe also do what? Speak. Faith without works is dead. It's not enough to just believe. The action is your speaking. You are going to say what you believe. You will speak what you believe. And so the action, this speaking that we do, is releasing into the spirit realm, into this realm here, the atmosphere. We're releasing the will of God, the word of God, and causing His will to be done. It's changing and causing His will to come to pass. We release faith words, God has something to work with. And if we back down, we back and slow up, then what happens is that it affects the momentum of what God needs to do in this earth. And so in this realm, the things that we're doing here that God has directed us to do, there needs to be a continual release of words in that area, a continual release of faith words. See, we're not just releasing words, oh yeah, I believe we receive $80,000 a week. No, God directed us to call that money in weekly. Faith believes in the unseen realm. Jesus spoke to that fig tree. Did anybody see anything for 24 hours? No, until they came by the next day and his disciples said, hey, look, that tree is withered up. And so it's the same thing here. I release faith words in what I've been given to do what? In other words, I believe what God has said. This is corporate I'm talking about, but I'm also talking about the things that God has told you. If, and that's the key thing, if God has said something to you personally, whether it's 6 months ago, a year ago, 10 years ago, if He told you, then it's still His will. And you need not let go of faith in that, and you need not let go of your words. Because it's faith that pleases God. It's impossible to please God without faith. And faith, the God kind of faith, believes, and therefore I do what? Speak. So you need to continue. Don't slow up. Don't back down. Don't say, you know what? Because the devil will say, you know what? Ain't working. And maybe it was something else. You've been saying that for the last 5 years and nothing seems to change. You're still in the same position. Nothing's changed. It's impossible. No, I believe God. And with God, all things are possible. To me, who? Who believes? And he told me, so therefore it shall come to pass. We have a lot of examples in the Bible that waited and waited and waited and waited. But what did they do? They said yes, and they begin to do what? Say what God said. And God has been prompting me in the heart, saying that there's some here, not all, but there's some here that haven't seen a change in their situation. They're still in the same place saying, yeah, okay, it's this, it's that, it's the people, it's my job, it's this. God said this, I ain't seen nothing. Well, my question is, did God say something to you? If he did, then you need to stick with it. If he promised you through the death, burial, and resurrection, this covenant that we have, he doesn't even have to come to you personally and say, glory to God, you're healed. No, the word says you're healed. The word says you're prosperous. So if I bring my tithe into the storehouse, he said, he will open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing that can hardly be contained.
Amen.
So I have his written word to me that's sealed in the blood of Jesus. So I don't need somebody to come in and say, thus saith the Lord. I've got his word. It's wonderful, and it's nice if somebody does, but it's not necessary. I've got a more sure word of prophecy right here. But what we believe, we need to do what? Say. That means I need to get up in the morning and throughout the day, I need to say those promises that are afforded to me and not get off of them. That's the momentum. That's the thrust that you're giving where your faith is concerned. Let's say it another way. When Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin, just this thought came up, before he passed in his early part of his ministry, when Jesus appeared to him, he said, you all know the story. He said, as he was laying, meditating in the Word, in a church, preparing for that service, the Holy Ghost said, did you notice in Mark 11:23, the word believe is there one time and the word say is there three times? And he said, no, I never saw that before. And he said to him, my people don't have a problem believing me, but they have a problem in their saying. And he said, you're going to have, he gave him that instruction, you're going to have to teach three times as much on the saying as you are the believing. Because why? We're faced in life with issues, obstacles, situations, devils, circumstances, and we believe, and it don't look like it's changing. But you need to continue to say what you believe. And faith, which is believing and saying, that pleases God, and that's what's going to change your circumstance. That saying is going to release the power of God in your circumstance to change it. I hope that hits home a little bit. So faith is an action. Faith is a living thing. Now, I want to turn over. Let's go over to James for a few moments. We know these scriptures, but let's focus on these for a moment. How are we doing on time? Doing all right? Okay, I guess we'll go on then. James 2:17. Let me get there. So it says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Faith, if it hath not works, is morte, dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works was dead, or is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou, hath faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And let me jump down here to verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, faith without works is what? That example is perfect, because God's word is perfect. But this physical body without a spirit is dead. Think of a hand and a glove. I got movement here. What's giving the glove the life? The hand. What's giving this body its action, its the spirit in it? So just having faith alone is dead. There has to be an action. And the simplest, the most basic action is what? What you're saying. What you're saying is your speech, is your action. You're saying what you believe. That's an action. Amen. So dead faith is claiming that you believe, but not acting on what you claim to believe. Dead faith is claiming that you believe, but not acting on what you claim you believe. It'd be like saying, I believe in tithing, and then not giving a dime. I believe in it, yes, sir. But I don't give. Living faith acts. Dead faith does not act. You see. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. You know, you can come to church, sit in a service, hear the word of God, see something in the word of God, know that you need to make a change, but don't. Let me ask a question. Faith, because folks will say, I have faith. I grew up in church. I have faith. Okay. If you have faith, then there has to be some corresponding action. So faith is not just knowing something. Faith is actually taking the next step and decreeing. Let me give you an example. There have been times folks have come to me and say, you know, could you pray with me? I have a problem with smoking. And I say, sure. Will you do what I tell you to do? Do you believe God can deliver you? Absolutely. And I said, well, I'll tell you what you do. Faith believes and then says something. And it doesn't have to be smoking. It could be drinking. It could be fornication. It could be homosexuality. Whatever the sin is. But faith then begins to say what to you is impossible to be delivered from. And faith calls what? Those things that what? Be not as though they were. That means that as I'm smoking this cigarette, as I'm putting down some Johnny Walker Red, or whatever that is you drink, not you, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking to the folks on the camera. I know what it is. You're drinking of the Holy Ghost. Yay! Let's clean it up. All right. But you get my point. Faith calls something that's not as though that as though it is. So when you're stuck in something, God is not expecting you. Now, when I say expecting, He expects you to believe, therefore I do what? I speak. So that means I speak and say, I'm delivered from this. I'm delivered from cigarettes. I'm delivered from alcohol. I'm delivered from homosexuality. I'm delivered from fornication, whatever it is. And you may still be stumbling in it. And folks think, well, you know, I guess I'm not delivered because I'm still smoking. I guess God, you know, maybe He doesn't want me to be delivered from this. Yes, He does. He already said so. The power of God will deliver you, but you've got to say what you believe. And when faith comes, the power of God is released, and you throw it down and you walk away and say, I can't do that. But it's a process.
Amen.
And that's where, unfortunately, folks come into service, they just think, well, you know, I believe. Yeah, I believe. You know, God will do something. No, He's looking for you to say what you believe, and then God responds. Does He not? That's faith. And faith pleases God. There's a benefit in it. So, faith, for the body without the spirit is dead. So faith without works is dead. That corresponding action, I've got to start saying. I've got to start decreeing. What I believe. You could have a problem with eating. Hey, stick some big plate of food in front of you and you go, one plate ain't enough. Or I'll give you an example. Folks could just have a compulsion. I'm going to mess with somebody. I'm going to mess with somebody. That spirit of messing with somebody just came upon me. I'm going to look up here, right up here. See, he got a hand up. I just got to have me a plate of oxtails. Yes. Yes, Lord. See, there it is. He dancing. There it is. See? See, I knew it. See? Hey, I do too. I do too. In moderation. Because otherwise, my pants are shrinking, and I don't know why. Or, I got to hit the gym a whole lot of extra hours. See, hitting the gym is a wonderful thing. It's the extra hours that I don't look forward to. See? So, faith without works is dead. And this action that we have to have is saying what God has said. And when faith comes, you'll know. You say, well, how will I know? You'll know it, honey. You'll know when faith hits you. Because I'm telling you, when faith comes, nothing, no demon, no devil, no circumstance will stop you.
Amen.
Faith transforms. What does the Bible say? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If He's pleased by faith, then our minds need to be transformed, so I'm walking in faith every minute of the day. So my mind is transformed from a carnal mind to a spiritual mind. And the spiritual mind sees and says, I can do that. But you see, you may start off saying, how are we going to do that? But I'm just going to believe God. And I'm going to say it in faith because God said so. But at some point, faith comes. And you go, bless God, we're going.
Glory.
And now, it's not just a faith statement. There's a knowing. I know in whom I believe. I know that I can do this and overcome. And I know that I'm delivered. See, that's the knowing. And that comes, but you've got to believe God just because He said so. And then it's not just, yeah, I believe. But you know, any day, if He'd just like to deliver me from this, it'd be all right. No, you've got to believe it and begin to say it.
Amen.
When you're walking through it, some folks have said, you mean to tell me I'm still supposed to say that while I'm drinking and smoking? Yes. Yes. See, that's the disconnect people have. They think, they get in condemnation and they stop their confession because they think, well, God's not pleased. No, that's a lie. God is pleased with faith. And He sees you decreeing that you're delivered. And at some point, faith kicks in and you are. In the natural, manifestation comes. Isn't that true? Let's turn over, let's back up here to Hebrews chapter 10, just for a few minutes. Hebrews chapter 10, and let's look at see, the reason, Hebrews 10, 35. Reason I'm messing with Pastor Jesse, because I was nice enough to share a picture with of some oxtails I was eating. And he came in the other day with a whole thing, and he said, two, yeah. And he didn't share it. And I tell you, I'm feeling some kind of way about that. No, I'm only kidding. I'm just joking. And Pastor Lakeisha said, she, you didn't get none either. Oh, it was for her. Oh, okay. All right. I understand the reason for that. Okay, I got it. I'm a little slow, but I got you. I understand. Yeah. That was a love gift. Yes, I got it. Okay, yes. Okay, let's move on. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. How many know that it pays to walk in faith? There's a reward for walking in faith. Hebrews 10, let's look at chapter 10 and verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence,
see,
which hath great recompense of reward. You don't cast your confidence away. There's a payday. For you have need of what? Patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just, that's me, I know that's you, say that's me, shall live by faith. Now look, but, see here now, here's a qualifier, but if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Mm-hmm. No drawing back. All right. If we have in an area, just say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me for drawing back. I'm going to work and get my confidence back in this area. I'm going to start stepping out in this area. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. There's a translation that I'm looking for. Okay, I know where it is. Okay, that's okay. Let me read this. This is the New Living Translation, Hebrews 10:35. Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord, no matter what happens. I like that. No matter what happens, don't throw away your confidence in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He's promised. Glory to God. I've been standing, you've been standing a long time for something. Don't throw away your confident trust in the Lord, for there's a great reward. But you have need of what? Patience, that after you have done that, done the will of God, you will receive, it says shall, all that He's promised. Verse 37, for just in a little while the coming one will come and not delay. Verse 38, and a righteous person will live by faith, but I will have no pleasure in anyone who turns away. When we want to hear God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Faithful means I'm going to be faithful to His will and not draw back, because He takes no pleasure in anyone turning back or drawing back or stepping back. No pleasure. We're going to please God. Yes. That means to me, I got to tell you, when He speaks things corporately, large or small, you hear the voice of God, you hear His voice, and you say, but how am I going to do that, Lord? That's not possible. He's the God. If He said it, it's possible. If He said it, it's possible. And so what seems like an impossibility, you need to step out and begin moving in that direction. And as you do, He makes the way. How about the Israelites crossing the Red Sea? Was their back up against the wall? Did he say, cross the sea here? What did he tell Moses? Lift up your staff. And he parted the waters. It looked like an impossible thing. You know, I was looking at a documentary on that a few months ago. And you look at, they have found, you know, there's all been this discussion of where they crossed the Red Sea. And there's a lot of research, a lot of researchers, Christian and otherwise, searching for it. And this documentary I saw was about 2 hours long. Fascinating. And they found the place. And you don't read about it in the papers, in the major papers, but they found the place where they crossed the Red Sea. And this is what they said. And actually, where they crossed, they said, in Israel, they talk about wadis, and there's these mountains, and they come through what they call wadis, and they show that where they came out to cross the Red Sea, two things they said, if in fact they did cross the Red Sea, there should be a debris field. And I went, right. And here's what they did. They went underwater and they found debris. Now, so many centuries have passed, so now it's all algae covered. But they said normal algae grows low to the sea bottom, but they found algae like this that looked like a wheel and an axle at right angles. They said algae don't grow at right angles. It's impossible. So they found it on both sides of the Red Sea. They found debris. And of course, those countries, you can't remove it. They found, and they took a picture of a wheel, a literal wheel. And of course, algae couldn't grow on it because it was metal. And they found, now this is the supernatural divine thing of God. He told them to cross at this point. Now, when they came out, they show that how many crossed the Red Sea? It was over 1 million. But they said where they came out, all of this sand and silt had built up, which could accommodate that many. And where they crossed, they said it's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet deep on both sides, but there's a ridge that rises up, and it's not that far below the water level where they crossed. So they parted, and here's this like mountain that they crossed across, you see. So they found exactly where they crossed. But the key is they had to follow God's direction. Not some other place. And God supernaturally knew that place was a place. See, he used a natural situation here. Yes, the sea was parted, but also there were conditions under it that allowed them to cross. That who would have known? Wouldn't have known. So faith, that's what the word of the Lord that was this morning. Arise. I am your provision. I am your protection. So, where were we? We were in Hebrews, right?
Yes.
Still in Hebrews chapter 10. Let me switch back over there again for a minute. Starting in verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. See, now, That will be wonderful, but now you can begin to read through the entire rest of the chapter. It shows you what faith is. Living examples of faith. By faith, Abel offered. By faith, Enoch was translated. And in verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. You can see every verse you go down. By faith, Abraham, when he was called into a place which he should go after for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing. He did something. So by faith, they did something, didn't they? They believed God, they were given some instructions, and then they acted. Faith without an action is dead. And so when you back up and you look at verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now I'll bring this, I may have it here. I wrote down, let me just see if I have that particular verse. If I don't have it, it was in my notes earlier and they're not here, but I'll bring it back. There's, let me see if I have it here. I want to take the time to mess with this, but no, I won't do it now. But Hebrews 11:6 in the Phillips translation, you can look that up. When it says here, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That Phillips translation talks about that the person that believes God actually believes that there's a payoff, there's a reward, you see. And when we trust and believe God, we have to believe that there's a benefit, there's a payoff, that God is going to reward us for that, for seeking him, for obeying him. Amen? Praise God. So what's been in my heart, what's stirring, is that God is saying to me and to all of us here that just having faith alone is not enough. There needs to be a release of your words in faith. And if you're struggling with something in your life, you need to release words in God's will. In other words, you need to know what his will is, believe that, and release words. Release the words. Therefore, I believe, and so I did what? I spoke. I speak. It didn't say, you know, if you know or see something, you believe. Faith calls something that's not as though it is. And so you need to. That's why if God has directed you in a particular area, faith reaches out into the impossible realm. If it was possible, then you could figure it out and do it. But he's going to ask us to do something that's impossible to do. Amen. And so God is asking us, don't back down, don't draw back, don't slack up. He takes no pleasure in that. What did Abraham do? He says he staggered not at the promises of God, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Amen. Be encouraged. You know, I'll say it this way. Because faith, this will be an encouragement to someone. Because faith calls those things which be not as though they were. In other words, you're calling something that isn't something you can see. The mere fact that thoughts come, this isn't working, this is a waste of time, I've been doing this for the last year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, whatever it is, nothing's changing. If it wasn't changing, then why are the thoughts coming? If it wasn't changing, why is the devil making such a big deal out of it? No, it is changing. See? God is faithful that promised. And he will bring to pass all that he promised for those that will not draw back. He takes no pleasure in those that draw back. And so if he's told you something, you stick with it. Pull up your boots and say, no, sir, God promised that, and he's a rewarder, and it shall come to pass. And devil, you're a liar. You're a thief, and you're getting me to just get discouraged and put down and let go of my faith. No, sir. As a matter of fact, I'm going double up and triple up and tell you what for and what thus saith God. Amen. I personally believe that God will search out a people, an individual or a group of people that will believe him and not draw back. And stick with it. He will give them the land. He will give them all. He'll give them those things. I'm telling you the truth. In the natural, in my mind, in the natural, it seems impossible. But it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what I see. I've got to see what he sees. He sees people coming. He sees a people that will believe him because he said, I'm giving it to you. He did the same thing with the Israelites. He said, I've given you the land. And only two said, yes, let's go do it. And the rest of them got cold feet and never received the reward. We're going to receive the reward individually and corporately because we're a people that believes God, trusts him, and doesn't draw back. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the Spirit of God who's here to lift us up, remind us, supernaturally fill us with faith. And thank you, Father, that we are a people that not only believe you, but act upon it. And we thank you for it. We look to you for our guidance. We look to you for all of what we need. And we bless you for it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, as I close, thinking about words that have been spoken to this ministry, and Brother Copeland prophesied, he said, this is a mighty church. And he said, you think, and he was talking here, he said, you think that church in Seoul, Korea is so big, it's over 1 million people. He said, I'll do that here and other places throughout the world if you let me. Oh, we're going to let them. This, and he said in there, don't seek the biggest church. Just seek me. Love him. Love his people. And he'll send them. It's not about having stuff and big things. It's about loving God and his people. And the people he's sending. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I'm reminded also, when Pastor Judy was here, there was some prophetic words early on when she came here. Some may remember. She said, you need to believe for 10% of the money of Nanuet. You need to believe for 10% of the real estate in this area. And you need to believe for 10% of the people. Anybody remember that? Okay, so now let me ask this question. You believed it. What are you saying? Because faith, without saying, without a corresponding action, is, as they say, nada. Means nothing. Yeah, I believe that. But you know what? I'm just comfortable the way we are. No, God puts prophetic words out there so that he looks for a people who will say, I believe that. We're going to do it. And you don't draw back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, praise God. I think that's it. Did you get anything today? Thank God. We bless God. Hallelujah. Faith in God and faith in his promises. So important. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It pleases him. As they say, when God is pleased, it's a good thing, isn't it? Hallelujah. Bless the Lord.